South African authorities started putting about 10,000 foreigners into refugee camps in the area around the city of Johannesburg yesterday. The move comes after a couple of weeks of violence in which mobs of South Africans have attacked immigrants from other African countries. The crisis has shined a light on ethnic tensions and a kind of xenophobia that casts a dark shadow on South Africa's post-apartheid image. To get more insight on the roots of the violence and how the government there is handling it, we've called up Mark Howard Ross. He's a political scientist at Bryn Mawr College in Pennsylvania. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. So some horrific stories coming out of South Africa about those attacks over the past few weeks. It's quelled now. Now the government is dealing with the ensuing refugee crisis. But explain to us what are the roots of this? What triggered this violence?
Well, there are a lot of things. You can look at longer-term and shorter-term things. There are about 5 million outsiders in South Africa, that is, people who are not born in South Africa, legal and illegal immigrants. About 60% of them come from Zimbabwe, which is really going through a 15-year period that's been pretty horrible. So what we have is something that's been building up, but South Africa always has taken in workers because they had jobs in the gold mines and in the cities and in doing many things. Most of them come from Zimbabwe and Mozambique, who have been the people who have been the main targets of the violence, but there have been refugees from other parts of Africa that have had crises, in particular Nigeria is far away, but they've had people from Nigeria, Congo, Burundi.
So is this about jobs?
Oh, well, some of it's jobs and some of it's to escape. I don't think there's a single explanation.
No, but far as the tensions and the reasons for the recent outbreak against the immigrant population, is it economically motivated?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on all at once. I think what we have in the townships are conditions that are still extremely difficult, 25% unemployment at least. We also have had short-term kinds of factors. There's been a real soar in prices of food and fuel. There have been electricity blackouts. We have a government that it really isn't terribly experienced. They've been very slow to respond here. The ANC has been so successful that, in effect, it's not a political party that is very active at the grassroots. And people really expected a shift in social services and the government to address the inequality, which was a daunting task given what the apartheid regime had come up with. So what we see is that it was easier to end apartheid than to recover from its effects. And as corruption has become a problem, as the leaders have been felt to be more unresponsive, the response has produced violence, which unfortunately has scapegoated people who were certainly not the causes of the problems that many South Africans are experiencing in the townships.
So the anger behind the violence is being put on the refugees and immigrant communities when perhaps people are just more upset about government policies and they've misdirected their anger.
Well, it's part of it is symbolic. That is, they see these government folks as out of touch, and there's a great deal of internecine warfare between different factions in the ANC, and they feel they're not listened to. In the 1990s, there was a great deal of township violence in the run-up to the 1994 election. So it's a mode of response, which unfortunately is not new in South Africa, but I think there's a sense that they're being neglected, and they're both being neglected in material terms. That is, schools and houses are being built at a very rapid rate, but not fast enough. Social services are poor. And don't forget, the rate of AIDS in South Africa is probably the highest in the world. So you have a series of things that are producing tremendous stress, and then this very short-term effect of the food and the fuel prices, and it's really a kind of situation where you would expect some response, unfortunately, and the migrants, people from Zimbabwe, create a lot of fear because with the stress in Zimbabwe, there's spillover from that crisis. Mm-hmm. There's the fear that there are going to be more and more people coming. I'm not saying there's a rational reaction. I'm not saying it's the correct reaction. But I think that's what we're seeing is a number of factors coming together all at once.
This has caused, I understand, a little bit of embarrassment on the part of certain members of the South African political class. I mean, during apartheid, many of those people took shelter in neighboring countries, were themselves political refugees. And now that the tables have turned, this could be a little bit embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing. The neighboring countries such as Zimbabwe and Mozambique were the frontline countries that supported the ANC, supported the ANC both politically and militarily. But we're talking about a different group of people. We're talking about a smaller number of people who were there at those earlier periods. I don't think the current group of immigrants in South Africa are necessarily highly political in the same way that the ANC top leaders and its military wing were in the 1970s and 80s. So it is very embarrassing, and I think that part of the concern is how slow the political leadership has been to really speak out. The president really has finally made a speech about the shame of this xenophobia, but he really didn't go to the places where this was occurring. Jacob Zuma, the heir apparent, has visited a township just this last week, and there was a lot of anger he heard. And so what you have are leaders that have not been quick enough to deal with the crisis, and it's only made it worse.
And xenophobia, definitely not something that South Africans' governing parties want part of post-apartheid South Africa image around the world. That's definitely
absolutely not. And they've made clear statements about that, but more is required than just statements. This is not a country where the current political party, the ANC, or any other political party, has a long history of democratic responsiveness. That is, being able to do things like really build local organizations and deal with problems in terms of delivery of social services at the grassroots level. And that's a real problem. And it's something that you don't build in 10 years. And they've gotten very top-heavy, and it's been a tremendous problem this country, despite its incredible prosperity.
Mark Howard Ross is a political scientist at Bryn Mawr College in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mark, thanks very much. We appreciate your help exploring some of the intricacies of this story. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Rachel.
And coming up, Bill Wolf, a man whose sports perspicacity is second to none. We'll talk mixed martial arts. And we'll also get to know South Dakota a little better. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.